You can. I was at Brown and here, so I figured post baby, no work. Pre baby, all the work. You know now it's gonna happen, right? Yeah, thank you so much for being here. I've done virtual events through White Whale. I've not really spent time here. I moved here in the pandemic. I never felt oriented in Pittsburgh, and it's been 2 years. And so I feel like this is kind of an introduction. And so I'm really grateful for this space and for this reading series and to be connected to folks and to colleague and some familiar faces. So yeah, just lots of gratitude. Yeah, thank you for opening with the Hugo poem, Chris. I printed out two accessibility copies if anybody would need them. I'll hand them to Anna if you need them. I'm not going to read from Ghost Dove because I get too sad and I don't want to feel that kind of sad anymore. But we could talk about it if you want, you know. The small poems are like time capsules, transport you back to that space. I'm working on this new kind of project. And also, I'm so excited for this forthcoming chapbook and this new third book. I mean, it's like such a big deal, right? To have like a new entity kind of come out. So congrats. And also, so wonderful to put your work like out for possible acceptance, you know? I mean, yeah. Anyway, I just have to acknowledge those things. Those are really big things, especially if folks in the audience aren't writers, or you're probably all secret writers. I believe you are. Okay, I'm just going to read five things, but all I'll tell you is I'm working through family narratives in the Vietnamese diaspora. The book is mostly about a tragedy in my immediate family, and now I'm kind of looking at the larger diaspora kind of network to zoom out, right? Because the refugee crisis is constantly happening everywhere at all years and months. So I'm just kind of keeping that in mind. Okay, you can hear me okay. And also hello to people on Zoom. I don't see your names, but like I'm holding you and I'll look at the camera too. Selkie weaning young. Finding her hide, we trailed fingers down, then against grains of fur, thrusting shoulders into its waxy skin. This is how she found us, the past draped about us like a cloak, hands separating peach halves from a core. Her form in the sound, a pandan leaf peeking through milk. The only seals in Vietnam, American men with green faces. I've been opening with this poem because I wrote a version of it during my MFA like over 10 years ago. And it was during a time in which I felt like everything I wrote had to be like devoid of ethnic identity, aka white. And I was like really into mythology. I was like, Selkies, you know, part-time seal, not a mermaid, right? And then like I was revisiting through like just old files like last year. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna change this. And then I did. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, you know, don't throw anything out is all I'm saying. Yeah. And then I'm gonna read, I've been working on prose poems. I call them my little bricks because they kind of accumulate into what I don't know. And the sequence is called Doi Moi, which is a Vietnamese phrase for period of kind of economic like change in Vietnam, kind of unofficially in the late 80s, more officially in the early 90s. That's kind of paved the way for Vietnam's kind of economy today, which is very different from the 80s. But as somebody whose Vietnamese was their first language, and then it was forbidden, and then like last semester or fall semester, I was like in a class with undergrads at Pitt taking Viet. And they were also young, and I felt like the old person. And I was like trying to reacquire language, but you know, when you reacquire language that you lost, you realize like all these words you thought meant what you thought are very different from the dictionary definition. And then you also realize your parents are kind of racist because they use certain words. And then in class, the teacher tells you don't use that word for the Japanese. Yeah, you know, you learn a lot. you know, about your family. And also you realize, like, you've been speaking Vietnamese, that's like 1970s Vietnamese, not 2020 Vietnamese. And so you sound like an antiquated person too. So anyway, I highly recommend it. It's fun. I think it like reacquaints you with language in a very different way. That has nothing to do with the sequence. I just wanted to share that with you because I got a kick out of it. Okay. Doi moi. At the site where the wound will occur, we know that she was in the garden. The one she had cultivated, seed by seed, shortly after moving in with her husband and their 11 children, all of them together again after years of separation. Her husband's and son's feet in America, her daughter's and hers in Vietnam, first in Saigon, then a place unmentioned by the coast, underground, in hiding, waiting to make a successful bribe so they might board a vessel, any vessel, collective bride in dark waters facing an unknown stage. Boom, boom, she whispered to my mother. Butterfly, the word my mother used to reference our genitals, two cupped wings like a heartbeat. Boom, boom. In hiding all that year unmentioned by the coast, my mother as a young girl had her first period, its dark liquid unseen in their nest underground. Boom, boom. The smear of red between my thighs, perfectly symmetrical. Two lips pressed together as if to kiss. What a strike. Mark, you mentioned anti-venom in one of the pieces, and I didn't know that anti-venom is also different from, like, venom is also different from poison, like all of these things. Anyway, I'm married to a biochemist, and he corrected me, so when you talked about anti-venom, it made me think about all the things that have venom and when there's, and then the antidote is also different. Anyway, okay, just connecting there. Sometimes the skin surface needs to break or be cut in order for healing to begin. The majority of antivenoms are administered intravenously. That is, they take place within or inside a vein. Fang into flesh, needle through, then under the skin. In a lab, someone will seek to understand the biomechanics of spider fangs so as to inspire new medical devices. Into her body, my father's mother administers insulin. When examined up close, our pores make up a canvas for needlepoint. Health questionnaires do not ask if there is a history of violence in your family. To the question not asked, I want to ask how many generations should I go back? When I dress exactly as my mother did on her honeymoon, is it not mimicry? One creature evolving to resemble another, an advantageous anti-predator adaptation. But what if your predator also looks like you? I do video work, multimedia stuff. And I had been doing this kind of radical empathy project. I digitized my parents' wedding and honeymoon video, and as I was watching them, I realized I had the same mother, and I looked just like her. And she's the primary abuser in my family. We don't have to go into that, but there's this kind of uncanny thing when you realize, like, oh, that's me. But also, she's so young then, before she knew what was gonna happen, what she was gonna do to her children. And it's different. It's not like, you know, I have with her, I understand that she's a product of war and a refugee. And so, okay, I feel like it's coming in now, okay. I did this project where there's so many things she can't talk to me about and I can't talk to her about. So I just decided to retrace her step. I had just been engaged at that point. And there's something about studying somebody's body, dressing up just like them, and then you look like them, and then you go to Hawaii, because why not? That's where they were in their honeymoon research, right? But like then to move like her, I don't know. There's a different kind of bodily conversation. Sorry.
Actually,
I showed the footage, both and old. Is it, I don't feel like I know. I feel like it's okay now that you're coming over. Oh. I could just also project, but then the Zoom people might not as well. Okay. All right. Okay. I'll just ignore it, you know? It'll be part of this like cool autotune situation. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, all I was going to say is like, you know, if just consider safe radical forms of empathy, because it can, I don't know, start different kinds of conversations. Anyway, we can talk more about it. I feel like I started a whole new thing and then I didn't want to continue up here about it. Okay. Each of them described the brother's death in different terms, though the fact of his absence interrupted them indiscriminately. Do they know how he found his life? If from inside it looked like a cage shaped exactly like his body, except two sizes too big, growing as he grew, condensing when he made himself small. And no matter what he did, he couldn't dissolve its borders, not even while he slept. I don't think it let him sleep. At night, fighting sleep, I stay up, as if hoping I'll catch wind of something. Tonight, or years ago, a wolf chased a deer past the cabin's front door and out onto lake ice where fate met each discriminately. Borders dissolved, but which one? Between a predator and prey, or stage and props? Anywhere there is a hole, there are traces of arrival and departure. The wind becomes a palimpsest of the creature no longer here, and a song, or is it a cry, emerging from nowhere, on its way to nowhere, passes through until the textures of the earth absorb it entirely. Sound, a body's way of making itself known. Silence, a way of knowing. Subjunctive, not a grammarian, but there is no subjunctive mood in the Vietnamese language. And so I've been thinking a lot about that. It's the shoulda, coulda, woulda, right? And so what happens for my refugee parents when I come and begin to like move through language in the workplace that has a subjunctive, but then in their native language, it doesn't. Anyway, I've been thinking a lot about that. Maybe it has nothing to do with the poem, but I titled it that, you know? It's one of those. Subjunctive. When the tide returns, it paints over bay mud what evening drains from the sky. What advances spilling over seagrass, smudging pockmarks off the floor? Off the floor of her bunker, my mother lifts her heels so she might see. This is as tall as she'll ever be, and even in hiding, she grows toward light. Though she cannot see them, she knows how clams nudge deeper undercover. One limb slips out from a crack. Slipping into sand is like slipping into shadows where running takes the form of waiting. Many years later, her daughter rewinds the mother's wedding. Rewinds, pauses, pauses and rewinds, trailing a finger along the wrinkles of the transferred tape. There you are, when I find the woman I know in a girl I'll never meet. Rake your hands slowly through the mud until you run into something. The bride lifts her gloved hand to ward off sun. Buddha help us, when we go to war. Thank you.